If you're looking to boost your communication skills, build better habits, and connect with people on a different level, then the podcast is for you. It's a place where connection and communication meet coaching. I'm your host, Podge, a seasoned expert in health, leadership, and psychology. Each week, we'll dive into topics related to health with a keen focus on the art of building meaningful relationships through insightful interviews and practical advice. I believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and by learning from each other, we can not only enhance our own lives, but also strengthen our communities and how we connect with others. So I invite you to join me on this journey of connection and growth. Let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. All right, seeing clap emojis already into the channel. We are vibing. We are live today. We are doing well, and I hope you all are doing good and doing well. And of course, if you are new to this platform, you are listening to this conversation live on Noom Vibe, which is, of course, the free wellness community app from Noom. At the Noom Vibe community, we're all on a shared mission to live better, to live longer. And Noom Vibe is actually the app that pays you to live better. And you can earn rewards from our step tracker and build out healthy habits like your workout routine, water intake, meditation. It also allows you to connect with this wonderful community and share your positive thoughts and much, much more. You also get the chance to learn from and interact with Noom coaches and other experts on the platform. And remember, you can only catch these episodes live on Noom Vibe, where you get to contribute in real time and even join in as a guest. But I do encourage you to download the Noom Vibe app if you don't have it and join us live to help us and support us in building out this wonderful community. And if you do like what you hear, you can feel free to give me a follow. I think you can just do it by clicking right under my name. Any support is greatly, greatly appreciated. And then also, if you do want to follow the podcast and myself on further social media sites, you can click on my name and it'll send you to a Linktree account, and that has access to all of the social medias, TikToks, Instagrams, Facebook, and connection to our Spotify and our Apple podcasts as well. All right, we did have a few more guests just trying to jump in. They jumped in and jumped out, maybe accidentally so, or maybe someone's proving to me that, hey, Podge, it is possible to click on as a guest and jump back out as a guest. If so, thank you so much for pointing that out to me as well. I hope you're enjoying the features of the Noom Vibe app. I recently, as you've probably seen, there's kind of step buddies that you can add in as well. And we are internally at Noom doing a stepping challenge, which, for those of you who listen to me frequently, would know that at the halfway mark, our team was actually leading. I think we're called the Vibe Walkers, kind of after the White Walkers in Game of Thrones. Leading at the moment. However, my step count has been pretty abysmal the last few days. So hopefully the rest of the team, I'm sure they're pulling their weight and keeping us on top as well. Martin is just coming into the conversation, and I lied to you once again. Martin is not coming into the conversation. So just a bit of house clearing. I know people have busy lives. You could be walking, it could be going off in your pocket, it could be anything. You could be listening to us via headphones while doing some sort of exercise as well. Just welcome to this podcast, where we're going to just explore kind of a little bit about personalities, touching on kind of some individual differences as well. And we're just going to dive into like the intriguing topic of introversion and extroversion. And the reason this topic kind of came to mind for me is I recently had a guest, Brian Douglas, which was an absolutely fascinating talk. Brian is he's a really intriguing man, a very, very insightful, very intelligent himself. And he touched on kind of this idea of being introverted and extroverted, being a mix of both as well. So I'd highly encourage you to click on my name, go back to talks and listen to that one. But it did got me thinking about this concept, and it's one I find very interesting, because people might introduce themselves as introverted. You might introduce yourself as introverted. You might introduce yourself as extroverted. And we're going to dive into like, what does that actually mean? Because if we can give kind of definitions, it might change your mind. Maybe you originally think you're an introvert and you come out of today's conversation going, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm a mix of both. And that's kind of where it stems from for me, because I do find it interesting. I don't think I'm fit in either category perfectly as well. So we go into a few definitions. I can maybe give a few examples of where I might be introverted in spaces, where I might be extroverted in spaces, and I would love to hear from you all as well. And so yeah, so let's just start with the basics. What is introversion? What is extroversion? Like, these terms in general were popularized by psychiatrist Carl Jung, and introverts are individuals who are more focused on their inner thoughts and feelings, while extroverts are more orientated towards the external world and social interactions. So no, introverts does not mean shy. Extroverts does not mean outgoing. There is more to it. Introverts often enjoy solitary activities and need time alone to recharge, whereas extroverts thrive in social situations and gain energy from interacting with others. I'm just going to repeat that so you can maybe think to yourself, like, where you might fall here. What situations do you behave in certain ways? So introverts often enjoy solitary activities and need time alone to recharge, whereas extroverts thrive in social situations and gain energy from interacting with others. So Carl Jung's theory laid the groundwork for our understanding of introversion and of extroversion. So he believed that these personality traits are innate and influence how we perceive and how we interact with the world. And then, building on Jung's work, modern psychology has integrated introversion and extroversion into broader personality models, so such as the Big Five personality traits, which I think I might do this at a later podcast as well. So in the Big Five model, introversion and extroversion are seen as a spectrum, with most people falling somewhere in between. So this actually offers me a bit of comfort, because when Brian was talking a few episodes ago, sorry about that. I have a lovely niece and a lovely nephew who have called into the house and they want to play with me, but I will have to wait till after this podcast. One is incredibly extroverted, actually, now that I'm saying. They both are very, very get energized from social interactions. So anyway, I digress. So regarding the Big Five personality traits, this Big Five model includes introversion and extroversion, and they're seen as a spectrum, so most people falling somewhere in between. So there has been research out there to show that there are kind of neurological differences too between introverts and extroverts. So a study by psychologist Hans Eisnick suggests that extroverts have a lower baseline level of cortical arousal, which means they seek out stimulation to raise their arousal levels. So in contrast, introverts have a higher baseline level of arousal and therefore prefer less stimulated environments. So the more you get into this, the more it is fascinating. As I said, the more it goes beyond introverts equals shy, extroverts equals outgoing. And I think this neurological differences helps to explain why introverts might find social events exhausting, while extroverts find them energizing. I'd love to know what way you feel when you're in a social setting. I definitely think for me, while I really, really, I get energized talking to people about this. This is the confusion I was having with Brian, right? Is I get energized talking to people, but I get so exhausted as well at the same time. I'm definitely the type of person on a night out, I love kind of going out socializing, but I also have no issue whatsoever leaving at a particular time. Like when I'm done, or you know, I'm done, I don't suffer from FOMO, which I know a lot of people might. And if you do feel the same as me, if you feel totally different to me, feel free to jump on and share your thoughts here with all of our wonderful listeners. But yeah, I'm definitely that type of person. I love going out. I love meeting friends, family, socializing. But then there is a point in the night where, okay, I've had my fill. I'm good. I can go home now, and I'm happy to leave that social event as well. So curious to know where you might fall in that category as well. And this, again, as I said, this is where we were chatting with Brian, that I was finding kind of the whole idea of introverts and extroverts tough, because I don't kind of like the bucketing, because I feel like I can be part of either, depending on my energy levels, depending on my setting, depending on who I'm with too. Do you know, I think if you're really with your kind of like your close friends, I think it's less taxing socially, you know, so maybe you can stay out longer. You don't really have to be talking about much and still enjoying people's comforts. Whereas maybe you're at a work event or a gathering where you're getting to know people a little better, and that can be a bit more taxing for you as well. So the next thing, just want to talk about maybe some common misconceptions as well. So I think there are many common misconceptions about the introversion and extroversion, kind of what we spoke to already. Like one common myth is that introverts are shy, extroverts are outgoing. Not always the case. But while shyness and social anxiety can be associated with introversion, they are not the same thing. So introverts can be confident and socially skilled, just as extroverts can sometimes feel uncomfortable in social settings. So I was listening to a podcast recently. I'm going to totally butcher this as I'm trying to paraphrase, but I think it was with Simon Sinek, Brené Brown, and Adam Grant. I think on Simon Sinek's is it A Bit of Optimism podcast. But Simon himself talked about how he has no issue, you know, leaving a party, or he's often like first to leave or something like that. But they just had this discussion then about, like, if someone is staying at home, are they staying at home because they have anxiety? Do you know, they're afraid to go out and socialize with people? Like, let's say, example, if you're invited to a party and you don't go, are you doing it because you're introverted in the way that you don't want to engage in social events, like you're anxious? Are you doing it in a way that you're so comfortable and confident that you are happy to just chill out at home by yourself? Like, you're very content to be by yourself as well. And I thought it was an interesting kind of conversation that they were having. Like, is it because, yeah, you have social anxiety, or is it because you're extremely comfortable in your own skin that you're fine being by yourself as well? You know, it's so it just kind of speaks to a bit of the complexities between introversion and extroversion as well. I think another misconception is that introverts don't like people and extroverts are always happy. The truth really is that introverts can value deep connection and meaningful conversation, whereas maybe extroverts can experience a wide range of emotions just like anyone else. So I think it's important to just point out a few of these misconceptions when it comes to introversion and extroversion. At this point, I do just want to take a brief pause. I do want to welcome more listeners into the conversation. As you've probably guessed, either by looking at the title or by listening for the last 15 or 20 seconds, that we're talking about being introverted versus extroverted. And I would love to hear your thoughts. If you do have any ideas around this, if you want to even just come on and share where you feel you lie in on this scale, like, what settings do you feel introverted in, what ones do you feel extroverted in, I would definitely love to hear from you. You can just click that guest button beside my name. There is a small incentive, 100 new vibes for anyone who comes onto the show for the first time as well, and would love to hear your thoughts as we're diving in. So recently we've just spoken a little bit about that. We've defined introversion and extroversion, which I actually will do again for those who have just joined. Again, and just a reminder that the terms popularized by Carl Jung, and introverts are individuals who are more focused on their inner thoughts and feelings, while extroverts are more orientated towards the external world and social interactions. So it goes a bit beyond, as we said, in the misconception space, a bit more than introverts are shy, extroverts are outgoing. Next, I just want to speak about some practical tips maybe for navigating these different kind of different personality types as well. If you're an introvert, it's important to honor your need for solitude and rest and relaxation. So maybe you schedule downtime after social events, and maybe you don't feel pressured to conform, I guess, to some sort of extroverted norms as well. And you know, like, you're a big, people coined it like social battery. You know when you're out if you are feeling exhausted by the event that you're in or the situation that you're in as well. So I think it is really important to kind of carve out some time for yourself to be able to recoup and recover as well. And you can do this by practicing setting boundaries and communicating your needs to those around you as well. I think people are mostly reasonable, even though there could be some cultural norms. I definitely know, being from Ireland, like being pub scene, if you're at a pub and say 11, I'm actually yawning just as I'm getting tired even just thinking about it. But if you were maybe about 11 or 12 o'clock at night getting tired, yeah, the amount of times I've been like, I might check out, I might go home. you were almost peer pressured into staying out. But no, I think if you're open and honest with people, they're pretty understanding of that too. So for extroverts, understanding that not everyone shares your enthusiasm for social interactions can improve your relationships. So be mindful giving introverts space and time to recharge as well. Encourage them to share their thoughts, you know, as introverts often have deep insights and ideas that might not be immediately expressed in a group setting. And I believe when Brian Douglas on a previous podcast or episode was talking, I think, did he start out more extroverted and then he became more introverted as he aged? Now, he's an incredibly deep thinker as well. And if you've been to, if you listen to that episode, feel free to leave a clap emoji there as well. But Brian is most definitely like such a deep thinker, and that really fits in the introverted kind of space as well. But at the same time, he said he loves interacting with people. So I think it's good that modern psychology has kind of put this on a spectrum more so than like a binary, you are this or that. So for everyone really, like whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, or somewhere in between, it's crucial to appreciate and respect differences. So when interacting with others, practice skills like active listening, or maybe practice skills like empathy as well. Just understanding that people have different needs, and that's totally okay. And I think these skills are super important skills, not just when it comes to introversion and extroversion, but just in general, like actively listening, like in terms of that, essentially a good trick for that is if you are listening to someone and you find yourself thinking like, I'm trying to respond, you're not actively listening. Like, you actually have to listen to understand the person versus trying to listen in order to get your next point across or something like that too. So, you know, I think that's a good tip when it comes to active listening in particular. And then empathy, it's kind of that's a tough one to teach, but I think everything is kind of learnable as well. And really the key regarding empathy, it does tie in, like active listening is definitely a big part, but I even think it goes, you probably heard the phrase like, put yourself in someone's shoes. Yes, maybe part of it, but I think it's more important to be able to like see the person who are wearing their own pair of shoes and be able to see things from their situation as well, and then be able to know how best to respond. So if you're putting yourself in someone's shoes, you know, you might just get a feeling of what they're going through, but then you need the added piece of like, what do they need in this moment from me? Like, do they need an arm around the shoulder? Do they need me just to like sit there and listen? Do they need me to respond or come in with some sort of statement to help them? I think that's like the deep layer of empathy, and I think you can actually unlock that through active listening, but understanding that just different people have different needs, and that's perfectly okay. I think if we kind of look to some real life applications of understanding introversion and extroversion, like we can consider Susan Cain, who's the author of Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Cain, an introverted herself, has shown how introverts can be incredibly powerful and incredibly successful as well. And I feel like I'm talking a lot about introverts, but there's nothing wrong with either. There's nothing wrong where you fall on that scale as well. Do you know? I guess it's more so just kind of overcoming the kind of stigma that introversion means shy and extroversion means outgoing. I think it's definitely a lot deeper than that as well. And just to expand a bit more on that as well, you know, let's look at some real life examples around Susan Cain. You know, the journey is a testament, I think, to just the power of understanding and embracing one's introverted nature. Susan herself, you know, started her career as a corporate lawyer, where she often fell out of place in a kind of extroverted culture of a law firm. So it was only after she left her legal career and started writing that truly began to thrive with the book as well. And in the book, you know, she writes that there's zero correlation between being the best talker and having the best ideas. I know Adam Grant talks about this a lot as well, that the person who tends to be listened to the most, or the person, I don't know if it's the person who tends to be listened to the most, or the person who has more of a chance of getting like the promotion or seen as the most important, can sometimes be the person who talks the most. But I think he then speaks, and Cain is doing similar, that not always the best talker has the best ideas. And I just think this highlights like a really important point, that the quality of ideas and contributions doesn't depend on how loud or how frequent we express ourselves. You know, and introverts can often bring a thoughtful and respectful approach to problem solving, which can lead to innovative solutions. And a few ways that you can look to do this at work is, you can just ensure that everyone's voice is heard, either by, if it's a small enough meeting, you can go around the room and ask people for their thoughts. But I know some people are not wanting to give their thoughts, you know, in person in front of everybody. So you can create other strategies too. Like, one is providing an agenda beforehand where people can feel free to contribute. The other is even post that as well, you know, saying, hey, we've had this conversation here, it doesn't have to end, there's still a way for you to contribute through XYZ, like filling out this Google Doc or connecting with me one-on-one. And I think this just opens the space, kind of what Susan Cain is kind of saying about, it allows more people to contribute, maybe those people who are kind of less comfortable in those larger settings. I know she does a TED talk as well about the power of introverts. Like, it's been viewed, I think, millions of times, sparked a lot of conversation around the value of introverts as well. And yeah, she just inspired many introverts to embrace their strengths and advocate for creating environments that allow you to flourish as well. And it's just, what I really like is that Susan emphasizes the importance of kind of quiet spaces and solitary work in schools and workplaces, and feel free to come on and share your thoughts here, but in workplaces I've been in recently, it's a very open format where it's very often like an open layout. You can kind of see most people that you could be working with. You could be beside them. You probably have a desk or a monitor. If it's a desk job, I know there's different, obviously, different types of jobs out there. But I do notice in like these corporate settings, they now have a lot of kind of like phone booths, or can be quite suffocating if you're claustrophobic or anything like that, dude. It can be quite tight. But there's these other mechanisms in place for people who need a bit of quiet time, a bit of solitude, you know, just to be able to get some focus work done as well. And I think that's a really nice addition, and one that is catering to all types of people. So you have like your open plan for those who want to collaborate with someone, and then you have kind of your more quieter spaces as well. Yeah, I think that was just really interesting by Susan Kane. I suppose another example of an introvert who might have achieved great success is Bill Gates. But before I do touch on that, we have Jennifer coming into the conversation. Jennifer, good to hear from you again. How are you keeping?
I'm good. How are you, Pad?
I'm very, very good. All the better now that you were jumping on to have a conversation. Thanks so much. Even for some people, the fact that you said you just kind of get to the front, like you get to the room, you just look in, you see someone, you go for it. You're like, yeah, I'm going to have a conversation with this person. For a lot of people, that could be anxiety inducing, depending on kind of maybe where you fall on this spectrum as well. But I'm curious. I think you use the example of someone you maybe knew, but like, what do you do when you approach? Like, do you just go up and go, hey, what's up? Or do you do that with people you're less familiar with as well? And I think it could be valuable to hear like how you do approach someone either you know or someone you don't know.
Sure. Well, if it's someone I know well, and you know, I don't interrupt conversations, but walk over and say hello and usually give a big hug. I'm definitely a hugging person. Not everyone is. And if it's someone that I know moderately well, I'll still walk over and say hello and ask how they're doing. There really isn't much of a difference between the two, except maybe my level of exuberance. And then if I don't know anyone, I go into the room and I make a scan. I usually find something to eat or drink and keep looking around, and I'm looking for someone to talk to, honestly. And I'll go and introduce myself to someone. Or if they're looking at some art that I like, walk up and say, you know, what do you like about this? Or something. But yeah, my approach is the same. It's just kind of the level of engagement, I guess, differs.
Yeah, and I recently just came across something online. So I follow, it's a guy called Vin Jiang, and he's essentially all about like how to communicate effectively and use your voice effectively as well. And he gave the example of just approaching random people, like not just like on the street, like you're in a setting together.
Sure.
And he actually gave the example of a prop. He said like, bring a bottle of water with you, because if things get awkward, you're not just standing there, you can just like take a drink and kind of, it just, he's saying it just kind of helps kind of keep things flowing and not get kind of like awkward and nervous. And it's funny you said like go pick up a bit of food, or you said someone's looking at art, I'll go over and talk to them about the art. So you're using kind of your space and the props around you to help engage in a conversation.
And I find that very helpful. So back to my husband though. I thought it was so strange, and that kind of is how, you know, dating went. We didn't do a lot of big event things, and he was great in small crowds, so it really didn't come back to me too much. And then when we started getting serious and talked about marriage, I said, we're going to do personality testing. You know, I missed some things with my first marriage, and I just want to cover all the bases, you know, and see if there are any things that might be challenges for us. And the first personality test, you know, I came up as about 98% extroverted. 98%, wow. Not about. And my husband came out about 48, 47. Yeah, you know, I guess we call him a friendly introvert. And so the psychologist had me repeat, you know, the test, and I came out at 98% extrovert. And I think that's true. I am very much fueled. I look at it as kind of my inner bank account. When I'm with groups of people, I get lots of deposits. You know, and I don't mind being alone. I'm perfectly comfortable being alone. Going to movies alone, going out to eat alone. But I really, you know, when I was traveling, I loved traveling alone because I wasn't beholden to anyone else's wishes if they didn't correspond with mine. But I was always meeting new people. It was an opportunity to meet new people.
And like you said, that was giving you resource, like you were banking resources at that point.
But it did help me to understand my husband quite a bit and not take things personally and understand that he needs more space than I do.
That's a good point, actually, because you could be thinking, like, you could have went the other way and gone, like, why isn't he happy in this setting? Like, why can't he just socialize? Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's better in small groups. He thrives in small groups. Some of the community service that I do, on Sundays, he spends the morning cooking with me for several hours. And then we box everything up together, and then I leave. And we serve about 100 people with a group of us. And it's a big crowd, and there's always something going on. And he just has no desire. So he'll help with the things he likes. And then I take off, and he spends the afternoon doing whatever he wants. And my day may take many detours. I may be home by 3, I may be home by 6 or 7. And he gives me total freedom in that respect.
Did this kind of understanding, which I actually really appreciate you kind of sharing this as well, because it does sound like you definitely have an understanding of each other's needs. You did the personality test. Like, did it really hit home after you did that, or was it even prior? You were kind of...
I knew when I was, there are stories of me at 3 and 4 years old on a family vacation, and we're at a gas station. I don't remember. It's my parents tell me. And I unroll the back window of the car and start talking to the gas attendant. And just, I think it's who I am.
Yeah. It was there. It was ingrained in you.
It does present challenges, though. And you mentioned, active listening. I always have things I want to say, and I've had to practice active listening and reflexive listening. And I love other people. I enjoy knowing them, so it's not difficult. I just need to remind myself sometimes to, you know, read cues and really listen.
Do you kind of get it? Is it almost like you're super excited to engage in a conversation? You kind of get ahead of yourself, or how? I'm curious to know what happens and how you manage to hone in. We spoke about active listening, but if you want to speak a bit more to like reflective listening for our listeners, I think they'd appreciate that too.
Sure. When I'm talking to someone, especially if it's something that seems important to them or emotional, and maybe I don't quite get it, or even if I do, I want them to know that I do get it. It's one of those things where maybe someone is, I don't know, upset, frustrated. And I'll say, it seems like you're upset about something. They say, well, no, I'm not upset. They said, maybe frustrated? Yeah, I'm frustrated. Yeah, okay, well, you know, what's frustrating you? But I'd be frustrated too. What's frustrating you about this? And giving them the opportunity to know that I get what they're saying, that I hear them. Mm-hmm. And it's reflecting back, you know, kind of a short summary of what they said. And it also gives the opportunity for clarification, which leads to deeper understanding.
Yeah, I went on Coach Chelsea's podcast actually yesterday as well, and I found her like reflective statements fascinating. Like, we were just having a a talk, but I, whenever she'd like reflect back to me, it just would hit me and I'd be like, ah, oh, she's making me like think through things a lot here. And so it can be a really powerful tool.
Yes. So
yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with yourself and your husband as well. And that personality test is really, really interesting. 98% extroverted it came back as.
Yes, and I truly think it's accurate. I really am fueled by interacting with other people. I had a very difficult time working from home, whereas my husband thrived. And even if I, at times where I didn't have an office, I would go to a coffee shop or a library. And I wouldn't talk to other people necessarily, maybe a little, or a medium amount. But I would get my work done in the midst of other people. That was much easier for me.
Yeah, that's also an important thing to talk about, I think, as well, especially in this age of work from home. And now it's like, come back to the office for some corporations. You know, I think there has to be a happy medium, but even more so, it has to be focused on individual differences, right? Like you said, some people thrive in that setting, some people don't. Some people want to be in the office and socializing. Some people want the mix.
The pandemic was especially difficult for people who are extroverted.
Mm-hmm.
I had to create circumstances that were safe, that were, you know, safe medically for myself and other people, and yet where I could still have my extroverted side engaged and satisfied. So
yeah,
and that was tricky, but we actually made it happen quite well.
Yeah, fair play to you for your ingenuity there. And I do, like my background originally was in teaching, and I can't help but think about kids who are at like such a young and malleable age at that point and lacked, like I'm just fascinated to know. And I think people are seeing it in schools, like the knock-on effect that isolation period is having, but I think it might be even more exaggerated as they age and develop.
I'm certain of it. They don't have... see, my son is 17 and was 13, 14 when this was going on. And it was 14, 15. Anyway, it was difficult for him. And at those teenage years, very impressionable and whatnot, I will say that his skills interacting with girls and those of his friends as well are a little behind the times.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is, yeah, that's a tough one. And then you add in the technology side of things as well.
Sure.
Exaggerating that too, yeah. Yeah, and it can be any age, right? Like I was originally thinking my little nephew, he was, I don't know, is he only like 3 and 4? But you know, like they're prime ages to be interacting and starting to socialize with other kids in classrooms, and they missed that. And like you said, teenage years, and even people who were just finishing high school and couldn't engage in the college experience the way it normally would. Yeah, it just has such a knock-on effect all around.
Yep. How did you survive the pandemic?
Do you know...
My husband was fine with it.
I was okay because it actually didn't... I was okay and I wasn't. It didn't disrupt my work routine too much because we worked remotely prior anyway. So it was actually funny, like my sister... would be talking to me and she was like, oh, there's this new thing out. Have you heard of it called Zoom? And I was like, yeah, we've been using Zoom since like 2016. So, you know, I was kind of accustomed to the work from home life. So that adjustment wasn't big, but all of our sports stopped and I would have played on, I play on an Irish football team and that was weird. Like you went from going, collaborating with your friends 3 times a week and playing sports together to not having that. And I think I only realized recently that had a huge knock-on effect, more so than anything else. I think just lacking that social interaction, it was just madness the more I look back at it. And we had a pretty strict lockdown. You know, we actually couldn't go and kick a ball to each other, even if we were kicking it from 60 yards apart. You know, all the facilities were locked up, all the gyms were locked up, and so from a health perspective that way, I think that's what kind of I found the most difficult. It kind of knocked me out of routine and it's been very hard to get back into it.
Sure. Yeah, and that was something we didn't really have as much of a problem with where I am. I live in a golf course community with tennis, and it didn't have to be locked down. It just had to be changed. The pro shop was closed. People had to use their own carts or borrow a friend. They had one person to a cart. But golf is a sport where there is some natural separation, and yet you're all going the same way and can keep talking. So I think our community here was pretty fortunate in that we had that opportunity.
Very, very much so. Yeah, that's really cool that you were still able to get that kind of that mm-hmm. exercise and that social interaction at the same time.
It was. And it really was. I think it helps. And even just to walk out the back door and be able to wave to people going by and say hello, and have, you know, distance conversations was very helpful for me personally.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really thought about that, but
it could appear like such a small insignificant, oh, I'm just like walking past waving at someone in the house, but it does add up in terms of like the social bucket that you were speaking about.
Yes. It does. It absolutely does. There were days that if it was hot, I would put out, you know, buckets of water and everyone would grab one and wave, and we could still engage.
Yeah, lovely. Geez, fair play to you. Do you fancy yourself as a golfer, Jen?
I can keep going the same direction as everyone else. Occasionally, I use the hand wedge and the foot wedge, especially if I'm going back and forth over the green too much. But I don't keep a handicap, and I don't play competitively. I just play for fun.
Awesome.
So I have miraculous shots sometimes, and people can't believe it. Yeah, and then I six putt. So,
and even so, if you constantly six putt, you're still better than myself.
So yeah, it's the social part of it that I enjoy.
Yeah, no, it really is good. I'm only just getting into myself because I'm kind of winding down from my Irish football days, and I think mm-hmm. it's a good substitute. But yeah, I'm absolutely terrible at the moment, but the only way is up.
But it doesn't matter because you're all going the same direction.
Yeah.
And you can learn from other people as you go. And, you know, part of it, if you're putting, is watching other people's putts to see how they read the green and to see how the green slopes based on theirs. But so it does give good opportunity to learn.
Yeah, I actually love the kind of novice stages, to be honest, where you are terrible and now I know eventually I'm going to be able to hit a somewhat decent ball in somewhat of a straight line, and it's gonna feel really good, I hope.
Oh, it will. It will.
Yeah.
And when I'm not good at something, I acknowledge it up front. That way no one is surprised and I don't feel, you know, embarrassed about it.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. People are encouraging when that happens usually. Like they're not like,
oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. They'll be encouraging for you.
Absolutely. Well, I will let someone else talk, Fudge.
Thank you, Jen.
Unless you have any other questions, I'm good to go.
No, I really, really appreciate you coming on. You know, it's your 98% extroversion kicking in totally there. So thank you so much. I appreciate you jumping on and having this discussion.
It actually kicked in earlier than I spoke. But I also have a little bit of a terrible sense of humor, and I was kind of waiting to see if anyone else would jump in or how you were going to keep going through your challenge.
Yeah, you came in and saved me. Actually, I have one question, actually, that the test you did, I'm going to list out maybe a few for people, but do you know which one you did?
We did the Myers-Briggs. We also did, I think, Enneagram and the Big Five.
Yeah, you're taking my material here, the Myers-Briggs and the Big Five, which is kind of what we touched on earlier today as well. Yeah, I know there's another one, the 16 personalities. It's kind of similar to the Myers-Briggs as well. But yeah, even doing one or a few of them kind of gives you a flavor of where you might fall on those particular dimensions.
And the psychologist said that we were very complimentary in so many ways, and our challenge was going to be communication, that my husband was going to have to be willing to sit down and engage, and I was going to have to be willing to give him time and space to reflect and think. And that was spot on.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's playing out.
Spot on. And at the time I thought, no, certainly not. We'll never have a disagreement.
Utopian world, I'd say, Jen, is it?
That you, oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, and thanks for sharing those personality tests with our folks here. I'm pretty sure there's like free versions of all of those online, I would guess.
I think that there are. Sometimes you have to sign up with an email. And then, of course, if you want to unsubscribe later, do that. But
yeah, perfect. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Cool. All right. Take care. And that was 98% extroverted Jen coming on to the conversation. If anyone else does want to hop in, maybe discuss about their lives where they feel they fall as well, we would love to hear from you. And until then, I'm just going to maybe just recap on our understanding of extroversion and introversion. So speak a bit about and summarize the characteristics of both as well. And when it comes to extroverts, which we'll start with first, generally a characteristic is around being sociable and outgoing. It's not restricted to being outgoing. But extroverts do enjoy, kind of as Jen was saying, being around people. They enjoy engaging in conversations and they enjoy participating in social activities. I think another characteristic is around just being energetic and enthusiastic. So extroverts might often display high levels of energy, enthusiasm, and I would say this especially goes in a group setting. And to Jen's point, she was saying she'd be able to like stay in a group setting or kind of wander almost around the room. And it'd be hard to set a time limit on when she'd want to leave as well. The extroverts could be quite talkative. You know, they tend to be maybe more talkative than introverts as well, and really want to engage in a conversation. Dominate is probably the wrong word. And again, to Jen's point there, the importance of being able to actively listen and engage in reflective listening as well, are two really good skills when it comes to continuing to engage in conversation too. Extroverts can be action orientated. You know, they prefer to just take action and are often involved in activities that require where decisions have to be made too, you know, and maybe some spontaneity as well. Extroverts can seek external stimulation and they're energized by their surroundings, by their surroundings and their interactions with others. Now, some characteristics of maybe some extroverts. They do tend to be more reserved and tend to think before they speak or they act. They find kind of peace or they find solitude and alone time refreshing and necessary for recharging. Again, if we think about Jen's example with her husband, that he can be at a social event for a certain amount of time, but then he does have to take time to himself to be able to recharge as well. And I think that Jen, your story was actually a wonderful example of the different characteristics between introverts and extroverts. Introverts often have the ability to focus deeply on tasks, and especially those that require significant concentration and attention to detail. Introverts typically prefer maybe small, more intimate gatherings over large social events. And often this is where introverts can come into their own, like when they are in a smaller, more intimate setting, where conversation can be at a different level as well. That could fill their cup as well too. Introverts are often reflective and introspective as well, deep in thought. You know, that's not to say extroverts don't think deeply as well, but introverts do like to spend time analyzing their thoughts and their feelings. And just to reiterate kind of around what Jen was saying with the personality test, it could be a cool way just to explore. And Brian Douglas, who was on a recent episode, as I said, you can click my name, go back to talks and find that episode here on Noom Vibe. He spoke in depth about a lot of personality tests that you can do. He spoke about soul contracting as well as kind of the Myers-Briggs that was discussed here. Then you have the other examples, the big five personalities, the 16 personalities tests that you can do as well. So there is a whole host of them out there. If you type personality tests online, you will get bombarded with different types of ones. But they're just a few that come to mind for me, and a few that Jen has discussed with us as well. Just at this time, I do just want to wind down the conversation. Just want to say thank you so much for all of our listeners who have joined here this morning. Really good to have you this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, depending on where you were calling in from. If you did like what you hear, feel free to click the follow button